And looking up into heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Clergy, dear sisters, and dear faithful, today's Gospel tells us about the healing of the deaf mute. This miracle happened in the area of Decapolis, which was mostly populated by pagans, but some Jews were living there too. On the previous year, our Lord had performed an impressive miracle in the neighborhood when he had freed a possessed man from the devil. So even in this distant region, he was quickly recognized and was asked to cure a man who was deaf, and while he was able to utter some sounds, had trouble in speaking understandably. Jesus placed his fingers in the man's ears, and spitting upon his own finger, touched the man's tongue. He then looked up to heaven in prayer. It is remarkable that Saint Mark writes that our Lord groaned, with which he expressed his deep feeling and compassion for the suffering man. Next came the command, be thou opened, and the man could now both hear and speak. And these rituals the Church retains even today in the rituals of baptism. Many Jews of this crowd had never seen our Lord work a miracle. And since there were no scribes and Pharisees now to restrain their joy, they did not hesitate to apply to him the words of prophet Isaiah. The pagans in the crowd were perhaps even more enthusiastic in expressing their admiration for the wonder worker. Up to now, Jesus had done all things well, and the proof of this was now before their eyes. Dear faithful, this year we commemorate 100 years of the message of Fatima. At Fatima, the wonders proving Our Lady's authentic message were clearly in front of the eyes of everyone. But just like Our Lord's miracles also had a witness who would harden his heart, namely Judas, also among the Portuguese nation, there were people who made their utmost to stop the kingdom of God spreading. One of them was named Artur de Oliveira Santos. This man was a writer, journalist, and politician. During the Portuguese Revolution, he was the chairman of the local chapter of the Portuguese Republican Party in Urem, the county where Fatima is located. When the revolution toppled the monarchy in 1910, Santos was in Lisbon to witness it and described it as one of the happiest moments in life. When he returned to Urem, he and his Republican friends hoisted the Republican flag in the castle of the old Urem. His dream of revolution had come true now. These new masters of Portugal, they not only got rid of King Manuel II, but they also seized church property, scattered, imprisoned, and exiled hundreds of priests and nuns, and banished the Patriarch of Lisbon from the country. Arturo Santos, with the backing of his powerful friends, became the mayor of Urem. During his administration, fewer and fewer people went to Mass and the sacraments. There were more divorces, and also less and less children were born. Of course, the mayor was not happy that the three Fatima children were spreading the devotion to Our Lady and the Rosary. The children had told that on the 13th of August, Our Lady would come again. As the 13th day approached, all Portugal knew the story of the apparitions at Fatima. But Santos had the three children imprisoned in his house and said they would not get out until they had told him the secret of Fatima. The people gathered to see the miracle promised went furious when they heard the children had been kidnapped, and a riot was on its way when there was a huge thunderclap which sounded like an end of the world. This was followed by a blinding flash of light. The children were released, and on the afternoon of Sunday, 19th of August, Lucia, Francisco, and his brother John were shepherding the sheep. Lucia then saw a sudden flash of light and realized that Our Lady must be coming. She asked John to get Jacinta, and when she arrived, there was a second flash, and the three children saw Our Lady in light standing on a nearby tree. She urged the children to continue going to the place of apparitions on the 13th of the month and to pray the rosary every day. She repeated her promise to perform a miracle on the 13th of October. She said to the children, "Pray, pray a great deal and make many sacrifices, for many souls go to hell because they have no one to make sacrifices and pray for them." She complained about the ill treatment to which the children had been subjected when they were kidnapped by the evil mayor. And then she said that on account of this, the miracle intended for October would be less great. And here we have one of the most important lessons in the story of Fatima. How great would the miracle of the sun have been if the mayor had not kidnapped the children? The apparitions were a huge blessing for Portugal because she was blessed to see the 50th anniversary of the apparitions while still a Catholic state. If the children would not have been kidnapped, who knows? Perhaps the miracle of the sun would have been seen all over Europe. That could have been a wake-up call to Germany and Russia, both of which were swayed soon after by hideous revolutions. And after those revolutions, the leaders of Europe started to prepare for another great war, even bloodier than the first one. If the children would not have been kidnapped, Europe and the world might have enjoyed innumerable benefits of Fatima and see the world peace. All we do know is that the actions of one evil man endangered the lives of many future generations. Tomorrow there will be almost a total eclipse of the sun seen in this country. That is, of course, a purely natural happening. But the people of Portugal, when October 1917 came, they saw a real miracle of the sun. The secular media of Portugal reported it, writing, "Terrifying event, how the sun danced at midday in the sky of Fatima." This was only the third time in history when God dispensed the order of the sky and let the sun move from its place. The first one was when the sun and moon stood still until Joshua and the Israelites had defeated their enemies while conquering the promised land. The second one was when King Ezekias was very sick and prophet Isaiah told him he would die. The king was weeping bitterly, fearing God's judgment over his soul. And God told Isaiah to return and announce that he had heard Ezekiah's prayer and added 15 years to his life. The king asked a sign from God as a token that he would be healed, and God made the sun move so that the shadow of the sundial went back 10 degrees. Dear faithful, Portugal was spared from the bloodshed of the World War, but the whole Europe was plunged into the abyss of atheism, communism, and wars. The people were deprived their sign of warning because of one man who hardened his heart. It was much like in the times of our Lord, when the scribes and Pharisees had asked a sign from our Lord. But he answered, "The wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign, and a sign shall not be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet." Our Lord saw that the hypocrite people would not take any sign as a warning, so they were left to witness his death and resurrection. And if they would harden their heart and close their ears from preaching, they would be destroyed together with the wicked. So also in the Europe of the 20th century, it was left to the Catholics to pray for the generation of their own time. But the people, and finally the Catholics as well, stopped heeding to Our Lady's warnings. Today's dogma, which no one can oppose, is the same as was with this Mary-hating mayor, that state must be supreme overlord of religion and citizens, especially children. When I was a child in Finland, we told many Soviet Union jokes, and one of them which I heard was that Mikhail Gorbachev, the leader of the country, was holding a press conference, and a reporter asked, "Comrade General Secretary, what do you think of pluralism, diversity?" And he answered, "You can only have one opinion about pluralism." This, what was then a joke, is today a chilling reality in Europe. This January, there was a news story about a Russian man who had fled from Russia at the end of communism to live in Germany. He is a Baptist, strongly religious, and wanted to leave Russia to be free to live as a Baptist in free Germany. He met his wife in Germany, and they had 10 children together. But after the children grew up a little and started school, life in Germany became impossible for them. Their daughter, in her school, she refused to attend the mandatory sex education classes because she is a Christian. So she missed the classes, and the parents were fined for her truancy. Besides, on the edge of the town, there was a refugee center for young Muslim men, and the parents did not dare to let their children go out onto the streets. The family took part in concerned parents' organizations and demonstrations against the public schools corrupting their children's morals. But eventually, they decided to return to Russia because despite all the faults Russia had, there they could homeschool. As the family was quoted, "We are simple Christians who live by the Bible," and it was impossible for them to do that in Germany. In Germany, you are forced to send your children to public schools, where they start corrupting the children already in kindergarten. The very word kindergarten is German and means garden for the children. And this family refused the state taking over in raising their children. And you can read from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association website that every year many families leave Germany in order to homeschool their children, since homeschooling in Germany is outright illegal. That is where it leads when you give in to the state demands over the rights of life and family. And don't ever think that this could never happen in this country. As you should know, the political system is like a pendulum. The so-called liberals and conservatives, they take turns in governing this country. And even though there is currently some sense of ruling in the White House, sooner or later, the liberals will come back. And when they do, they will come back with a vengeance. If you are still in doubt, you just need to look at the situation in Europe. Anyone who is of my age or older remembers that it's not yet even 30 years when they used to shoot at sight the people who were trying to escape to West from the communist East Germany. Could you ever have imagined that you would live to see the day when the people in Germany who survived the Berlin Wall now have to escape to Russia in order to raise their children as Christians? Dear faithful, the people in Europe lost their chance to see the great miracle of the sun and were largely left in darkness. But you are not in darkness. The scribes and Pharisees and the 20th century Europe were denied in seeing the miracle and were left hearing the faith, which they largely ignored. But you have both the miracle and the faith, the miracle of the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the unadulterated Catholic faith. It's even this day when the Church repeats the rituals of today's miracle of healing the deaf man in baptism. And in baptism, the priest prays, "I entreat for this thy servant thine unfailing and righteous mercy. May it please thee to enlighten him with the light of thine understanding. Cleanse and sanctify him. Endow him with true knowledge, so that he may be made worthy of the grace of thy baptism, and thus remain steadfast in firm hope, right purpose, and holy doctrine." That's what you have to remain, steadfast in firm hope, right purpose, and holy doctrine. And as parents, also make sure that your children remain so as well. Remember that of those 12 apostles who saw the miracles of our Lord, only 11 stayed faithful. One, Judas Iscariot, he failed. Judas failed to acknowledge that he had to shoulder personal responsibility of living the faith, not the way he desired, but the way Christ wanted. He refused to make use of the things which would have made him as successful an apostle as the others were. Their names are inscribed on the roll of honor of God's saints. He's on the roll of the infamous. All because Judas failed to remain steadfast in hope and holy doctrine. So today, in the spirit of ardent Catholic faith, rekindle your devotion to Mary, who is now gloriously reigning in heaven. Ask her to help you to merit the eternal life. Recite her rosary every day, not just from the sense of duty, but out of spirit of devotion. Difference between a devout Catholic and a lukewarm Catholic might not be only in the length of the time in purgatory. It might even be a difference between an apostle and a traitor, the evil mayor and the innocent children. If you sacrifice your life and your will to God, as Our Lady did, you will also receive the reward of Our Lady in heaven instead of the eternal punishment of Judas. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.